give us a call. We'll add to it. 856-261-9018. Yes, ma'am?
A priest, he went into the holy places, and he gave sacrifices. Sacrifices on behalf of the people.
Like the high priest once a year, when
right.
the Holy
yeah.
Holies.
The other ones, they have the, you know.
The regular priests that took care of the lamps.
The big altar. Where they
killed cared for it each day.
The brazen altar.
The brazen altar, they would kill the offerings, and they would put the blood in the corners of the offerings and use that. So the priest was very close to the Lord, the Lord's tabernacle. Prophets preached in general, so there are different prophets. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ is a prophet. I was a prophet in Israel and also a priest, our high priest, entered into heaven, interceding for us who are saved. Our great high priest entered into heaven. Yeah, Mom?
Were there some, like Samuel or somebody, there was a prophet and a priest? Samuel wasn't a priest.
He was the prophet.
Some people, some were two things. I can't remember who.
Yes. Well, Abraham was sort of a prophet and a priest that he offered unto the Lord. See, before the law of Moses, the family that was the head of the family could make an offering, like Abraham offered on the altar, Isaac offered a sacrifice, and Jacob. That's the part of the priest. He also was a prophet, and the Lord spoke through him to tell him different things. So that's what he may be that time. He was the patriarch.
Samuel was two things, wasn't he?
Well, he was a prophet, the last of the prophets, the first of the the judges. Last of the Messianic prophets, judges, one of the two. He was in that area. He was before the judges. But both the prophet and priest are profane. Do we have any profane prophets and priests today?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we do. Preachers are, like the Old Testament prophet, not exactly prophets, but pastors and preachers certainly are, many of them are profane, many of them are secular, they don't even believe anything. They deny the deity of Christ, his bodily resurrection and blood atonement. They just rip the Bible apart, in fact, and it's a sad thing. And God is angry, just as every bit is angry with the preachers and priests and prophets, as it were, by analogy. They're not priests and not prophets. Today, as he was back in the days of Judah. He packed them up and went into captivity in Babylon, and he's going to maybe judge this land and this apostasy as well. The prophets and priests, now, as my wife mentioned, the priests, literal priests, Roman Catholic priests, are terribly profane with the pedophile activity, with the homosexual activity, with the sexual activity with the nuns. I mean, there's all kinds of sins that are in the priesthood of Rome. They're covered up because they've got money. And they've just been covering up for centuries, hundreds of years. This has gone on. Babies born in these convents and so on. Hushed up. Nobody knows. But Chiniqui, and he's one of them, wrote a book on the confessional and various other things that he put in there. All this thing came out. He's a former Catholic. A priest, I guess it was, or maybe just Roman Catholic, but various other ones that brought this up. But the priests profane, but we've seen in the last few years, the priests have been in a scandalous activity, but not much is heard about anymore. It's sort of quiet. Everything seems to be quiet. It was a big blow up several months back, but now.
You still hear it.
Well, you hear it, but not as much.
But Protestants have bad times too.
Protestants have very bad times. And we have people in the ministry that commit adultery, that leave their wives, that break up their homes.
Steal
from the congregation. It's a bad thing. It's a bad scene.
Embezzle
funds. It's not limited to Rome. It's not limited to the liberals and modernists. Some fundamental, these charismatic people on the TV, a lot of them are not decent. And there's a very serious thing. Jim Baker, for example, he not only had adultery and who knows what else, but he stole a lot of money, and we got to put to jail for that. I back out of jail. I don't know what he's doing now, but I hope he's more honest.
He has his own ministry.
His second wife. Prophet, priest, pray. Yea, and now in my house I found their wickedness. So you see, it says in the Old Testament, judgment must begin at the house of God. Judgment must begin at the house of God. If the house of the Lord is not clean, The world of the unrighteous comes. There's no point in getting all upset about the unsaved people. They don't know any better. But for believers, saved people, to be unrighteous in God's house, that's severe, severe judgment on the part of God. He's going to go after it. So in my house, have I found their wickedness? Do you think that they could, do you think they thought that they, anybody could see their wickedness in the house of the Lord?
They should have known.
God could see right through anything. In fact, in the book of Ezekiel, it's mentioned that there's on the walls, the painted walls, all the wickedness that is there, and God goes in. In fact, that's where the book of Ezekiel is, where it says, judgment must begin at the house of God. They see all these filthy sayings on the walls of the temple, and God just removes himself from that. I found their wickedness. Then in verse, let's read verse 12, 13, and 14 together. Wherefore, their way shall be unto them as slippery ways in the darkness. They shall be driven on and fall therein. For I will bring evil upon them, even the year of their visitation, saith the Lord. I have seen folly in the prophets of Samaria.
They prophesied in Baal, and caused my people Israel to err.
I have seen also after the prophets of Jerusalem, and horrible things.
They commit adultery, and walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of evildoers, that none doth return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom, and inhabitants of them as Gomorrah.
And verse 12 talks about their way. What is somebody's way? Their way. Our lifestyle, right? That's one thing. Their way, their way. So being to them, how does God describe the way of these wicked priests and prophets? Slippery. Now we know with the snow that came yesterday, and we got up, there's a lot of snow, and you can slip on the snow, the ice. As you said when you came in, Joanne, it's difficult. You don't know whether you have any firm footing, and so it's an important thing. But their way is slippery ways in the darkness. That's one thing when you can see and you slip, but if it's in the dark, you don't even know what's there to slip on. If you go out and there's ice and it's dark, you can't see the ice. You can slip, it's very dangerous. You break bones. But God says their ways, he's going to make them slip. And then verse 12 goes on to say what? What is God going to do to these wicked people?
They shall be driven on.
Driven on and fall there. So in the way, they'll be driven up, pushed away, impelled, driven. In other words, they may not want to go, but God's going to push them just like a big wind. Just pushes somebody out along the way. They may want to go one way, God's going to push them another way, driven on, and then they're going to fall because of the slippery way. What else has God promised to do to these wicked people?
Bring evil upon them.
Evil. Bring evil upon them. Now, who started the evil? Did the Lord start the evil?
No,
he didn't start the evil. The people started, didn't they? They were the evil ones. Their prophet and priest were profane, full of adultery, full of cursing and swearing. And then in verse 13, where did the Lord... now, by the way, this is going to happen to the evil in the year of their visitation, says the Lord in verse 12. There's going to, I believe this whole chapter has to do principally not only with the taking him into Babylon, but also the very last days when they're going to be judged in the great tribulation period before the Lord returns and sets up the millennial reign. But in verse 13, especially God names the location of these prophets. Where's the location that he sees in?
Samaria.
Now, where was Samaria? Is that the north or the south of Jerusalem? That's up, that's right in the north. That's right. Samaria's in the northern part, see. If you take here, here's Judah. Samaria is up here in the green. If you take this map, here's Judah, which is the southern kingdom. Samaria is the northern kingdom. See, that's up north. And so in the prophets, what is he seen in the prophets of Samaria? Folly. What is folly?
Foolishness.
Foolishness, that's right. And how did they go about their prophecy in verse 13?
They prophesied in Baal.
In Baal. Now, who is Baal and what happened in the worship of Baal?
He's an idol.
He's an idol. Was there any queen in the Old Testament that especially was a worshiper of Baal? Ends with a J.
Jezebel.
Jezebel, that's right. She just had the prophets of Baal. In fact, Elijah had to do battle with those prophets of Baal. 450 prophets of Baal up on Mount, what was it, Mount? course, Samaria, but what was that mouth?
I can't think of the mouth that he was up to. Anyhow, he took the word,
gave him the power, and just destroyed all these prophets of Baal. It's a very serious thing. And the...
Where are you going?
What is it?
I got out of view there, and I was doing something else.
Now, did you forget on the video, but I also neglected on the audio, so we're both neglecting on the phone.
Okay, we had too many things. It wasn't working
well. And I neglected also on the DVD, so all of us, we'll have to work on the video on and take care of that. So notice he's seen following in the prophets of Baal. What was the result of Baal?
What did
the prophets of Baal, those that worship Baal, what did they do? What was fine to do if you worship Baal?
They sacrificed children.
Maybe. Yes, that's one thing they did. What else?
Wasn't Baal the male side of Astra?
Astra was a female, male was the male. Baal was a person, a deity that was worshipped by sexual relations between the priests of Baal and the people who were worshipping. And when you had the sexual relations, you paid so much money, that was the way you paid money to Baal and the worship of Baal. That's part of sexuality. It's rampant. That's one of the things of Baal. It's a terrible situation. And filthiness, and they prophesied in Baal. He was a picture of Satan. He was like Satan in the Old Testament. Satan was another race, Baal, Balaam.
Men with men,
for homosexuality, and also with female. They lay in the congregation also in Baal worship. They sanctioned that. It was not only homosexual male with male, but also female male, and that was the price of that they would give to the worship of this heathen god. So it's a terrible, terrible thing.
That's what Eli's sons did.
Yes, sons
that's
of Eli.
The Baal part,
they lay with the women in the congregation. It's very funny. Well, they probably learned it from Baal. And here was Eli, who was a priest. Samuel was the priest. And Samuel was that kind of a priest in the Bible book because he was brought up with Eli.
Okay.
But the sons, Hophni and Phinehas, lay with the congregation of women. And they were a scandal. They were put out of the priesthood, and they never succeeded their father Eli. It was a terrible thing. But they probably learned it from the Baal worship. Now, what does the worship of Baal cause? What's the result of verse 13?
Israel to Ur.
For Israel caused my people Israel to Ur. And what does it mean to Ur? It's just a mistake, go astray,
I found Baal in here, in Ungers. You just tell me when you
want to. Read it good and loud, so everybody can hear
Baal, the common Canaanite word for master, lord. Baal was one of the chief male deities of the Canaanite pantheon, now well known from the religious epic literature discovered at Rosh Shama, ancient Ugarit of the Amana letters. From 1929 to 37, Baal was the son of El, the father of the gods, and the head of the Canaanite pantheon, according to the tablets from Ugarit. He is also designated as the son of Dagon. Remember Dagon? An ancient Canaanite and Mesopotamian deity associated with agriculture. Baal was thus the farm god who gave increase to family and field, flocks, and herds. He was likewise identified with the storm god Hada, whose voice could be heard in the reverberating thunder and accompanying rain, so necessary for the success of the crop.
Getting down to the immorality of it there.
Canaanite worship. I don't know why. The inhabitants of Canaan were addicted to Baal worship, which was conducted by priests in temples and in good weather outdoors in the fields, and particularly on hilltops called high places. The cult included animal sacrifices, ritualistic meals, and licentious dances. Near the rock altar was a sacred pillar or masaba, and close by was the symbol of the Asherah, both of which apparently symbolized human fertility. High places had chambers for sacred prostitution by male prostitutes.
There is.
And sacred harlots.
Sacred harlots.
1 Kings 14:23-24 and 2 Kings 23:7. The gaiety and licentious character of Baal worship always had a subtle attraction for the austere Hebrews bound to serve a holy God under the rigorous moral code. Then there's another section, Baal names.
That's all right. So I thank you. So you see the chambers where the male prostitutes and the female prostitutes, where the homosexuality and the heterosexuality and adultery and fornication were permitted. And that's why they caused my people, Israel, to err. When you go along with Israel, with the Baal, then everything's all right. There's nothing wrong. Everything was fine. And so it's a terrible thing. And then in verse 14, where are the prophets located here in this verse 14?
Jerusalem.
You see, here is Samaria up in the north in this green part here. And Jerusalem is down here. See, that's Judah. Here's the Israel, the ten tribes. Here's the two tribes. And he says, what does he say about the prophets of Jerusalem? What does he see?
Horrible thing.
In the prophets. What do they do? So even the prophets are adulterers. They should have their own husbands, their own wives. They should not have adultery. There's no question about it. But they commit adultery. What else do they do?
Walk in lies.
What would it mean to walk in lies? Are there people in this country, and that you know perhaps, that are liars?
They're
lying. All right. Why do people lie?
I don't know. Some people, they lie, and they don't even know it's lying.
At least they don't think it's lying.
Yeah.
Is their conscience so seared with a hot iron they don't even know it's lying?
I think so. People tell, even Christians, they'll say, well, I'm going to come see you. I'm going to do this.
They don't do it. What they should say is, if the Lord will, I will do this.
They have no intention of coming.
A lot of them don't. That's right. What is a lie? How would you define a lie?
Not the truth.
All right. Something that's not the truth. And sometimes, if something is false, now the Greek word pseudos is false, like a pseudonym, something is false. That means that anything that is not true is false, whether you mean it or not. That's the Greek, pseudos, false. In English, usually when you speak of a lie, it's something that you purposely deceive people, purposely don't tell the factual truth. But in the Greek, whether you purpose to do it or whether not, if it's not true, it's absurd, it's false. So, but anyhow, be that as it may, to walk in lies, that means their whole life is a tissue of lies. Now, our President Clinton lied under oath, did he not, which is called perjury. That's what it is. And because of that, one of the counts, at least, against him, he was impeached for the House. He was not convicted by the Senate, but he was impeached for the House. It was an impeachment. That's what it's called. But walking in lies. Have you ever heard people boast about what they've done? Have you ever heard them say, well, I was in the military and I was over here? A liar came into here one time for a Bible study on Sunday afternoon. You want to tell about that, Mrs. Wade? Big tall man. What was his lie?
He not only taught
at the Christian school over there.
That's what he said.
He said that was one of the lies. And whether he did or not, I don't know.
Big tall fellow.
And not only that, but he was in the 9/11. He's one of the buildings. He survived all of these big lies.
He told us that the night before he'd been with his girlfriend to the opera or something, and they were back behind the building, and he got robbed, and he had no money, and he had no charge accounts. He had nothing. And he was on insulin, and he showed me, he strapped the insulin to his leg. He said, I strap it to the leg so I won't get, and there was a little bit of insulin. He said, I'm running out of insulin. I need money for insulin. I need $25. And we never seen him before in our lives, but he...
He said he was going to come back to Bible study.
And he said, remember I called you? So, and he gets so many calls, he can't remember. You know, you can't remember when you get hundreds of calls from... And he said, remember, Dr. Wade, I called you and everything. And so we had just...
I've been taken in by so many of these people that are liars, but now this time I put it on her. Should we not give this man $25, whatever he needed, whatever he said.
Because he just a couple weeks before, my husband gave $100 two different times to a man that just got out of prison. And
that's
this man lied to us. And so I said, how could you do that? So... He said, well, it sounded okay, and this man said he was a Christian, and he told us all about his 9/11 experience and everything. And so my husband wanted to give him a check. He says, oh, don't give me a check. What was his reason?
Let it be cash. I don't know what it is.
He couldn't take, he couldn't have... So
I don't want to go. The only place you get this medicine is over there in the Ellisburg Circle.
Yeah.
A certain drugstore over there.
It began with a G. It was Giannotti's or something.
Giannotti's company. So we took him over there.
He also said, my husband says, I only have $30. He says, that's all right. So then...
It was only 25. I just had 30. I was expecting some change. What I should have done is gone in with him to see what he got in that store.
Because he said the price went up, it's $29.
So
I have no idea. Then we brought him back here because he wanted to take the high speed line. So I don't know.
So he disappeared from our life, disappeared from our life.
Every once in a while I send him something.
But that's the person that walks in lies.
We see
people come to the door and they're this. Oh, we ought to tell you about that man with the diapers. Tell him about the man with the diapers.
Okay. Well, this man, he said he was a painter and everything, and he needed money for his baby to buy diapers. And my husband, he fell for it. We give him money and everything. And then one time, and then...
Several years later.
This was a long time he kept coming. And then Mike, who used to work for us, gave him money. And then he said, is Mike here? I said, no, Mike doesn't work anymore. And he says, I need money for my baby's diapers. And I said, your baby is older now, and he's out of diapers by now. You're not getting any more money from us.
No more money for diapers. But he's walking in lies. See, all these people in the story.
We saw him other parts of Congress, but then I think someone's called the police on him.
Maybe. So anyhow, I've been taken in by liars.
Oh, my husband will tell by your experiences. The soldiers and all these things. They call you up and you meet them and you give them money.
I tell you, I'm gonna send her out. I mean, we go together. But I mean, she seemed to have
the story seems so good.
But she was the one that said okay to this guy here. So it's on her. See, for a change, she's taking it. I'm not the only one to take it. We're gonna stop right here. But you're walking lies.
You go on and on.
Walking lies. And we're going to start right here, verse 14, for next week. But do you have any other comments or questions before we close? Good to have all those listening to us, and we hope that they've been with us and followed along. We hope to see everybody on the Lord's Day. Any other comments before we close?
I just can't believe that you haven't gotten hard and don't believe anybody anymore.
Well, I'm about that point now. I've got just as hard as nails on the thing, and, you know, people call me on the phone. They get the number of the church, the Yellow Pages, Bible for Day Baptist Church. They have this story, this story, this story, this story.
Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Easter. They just have a Christmas message. So now, I listen to their story. Some of them take 3, 4, 5 minutes telling all their needs. Then I end up, I say, well, thank you very much. We're a small church. We don't have any means for that, but thank you for calling and sharing. So that's what I have to say. I mean, I must have had 10 calls for Thanksgiving, 10 calls for Christmas, maybe not that many, but periodically they have needs and they call because of the church thing. No, I've been taken in so much that I can't be taken in anymore.
Tell about the radio listener. You were so thrilled. We went, our program used to be
radio listener. WTMR, then we'll close. WTMR.
Very expensive.
This man listened to me, and I said on the TMR, let me know if we can be of any help to you. Now I've changed it. Any spiritual help? So he says, I need help. What did he need? I don't know how much.
He needed money.
He needed a lot of money.
First of all, he wanted to hear your programs, and you gave him videos, and I said, he has a video player? He has a video player and he needs money?
Well, I don't remember what happened, but I had to go to a place.
You had to go to...
Wanted money.
He wanted money through some Christian
agency,
organization. Not Campus Crusade, but something
like that. If I would say halfway along, here's a call. Hello? Yes, Charles? Yes, his brother or sister negative. That's right. So that's in James 2:14. That's right. So we should help them, but not necessarily at this time, Dick and Harry, and so on. Okay, good. Thank you, Charles. All right. That's Charles. That's good.
Where's it located? He's in the
James 2:14-16. He's along in that James 2. In other words, her brother be negative. That's true to food. We'll help him, you know,
that's
if a Christian
right.
believer, and so on. We try to do it, but these people are just out and out. Anyhow, I don't remember all the details, but that man just...
He got the money from this Christian organization, and then you went to wherever it was
somewhere.
For his rent, and you gave the rent to the rent person. to the landlord, and he, the man, was so mad because he wanted it himself.
He wanted the money himself, so he gave it to the landlord. But no more. I mean, I tell you. Well, anyhow, walking in lies. We've been done in by so many people. Let's close in a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank thee that we can know the Savior that is the way, the truth, and the life. Help us to walk in truth, not in lies. Help us, Lord, not to be prophets or priests as these Old Testament people that are living in adultery, living in swearing, and living in terrible, terrible times. Help us, Lord, to guide and be directed that we may love thee and serve thee. In Jesus' name, amen. Hello? Hi, hi, Wendy. Yes. We can't give everyone the claim to know Christ, Wendy says, but those that are in the church. Well, thank you, Wendy. That's a good comment. Praise the Lord. Take care. Okay, so anyway, we got a little input.
That's good.
To listen to you. Wisconsin and California.
Yes.
We're already closed in prayer.
Yes.
Let's take care. Thank you for coming, and we trust the Lord will honor and bless our days.
It's true. You know, Susan is apparently...